This is Pop Fiction Women. I'm Corinne.
I'm Kate, and we're complicated.
Blunt.
Total boss.
But sometimes a mess.
Opinionated.
But never boring.
And in this podcast, we're discussing the complicated women of the best books, TV, and movies.
Along with the complicated women behind the scenes. Warning, lots of spoilers ahead.
So come back when you're done.
Hurry up, it's starting. We are talking about Utopia, the new Amazon show from my personal favorite, Gillian Flynn.
Yes.
Utopia is the logline. A group of young adults who meet online get a hold of a cult underground graphic novel, which not only pins them as the target of a shadowy deep state organization, but also burdens them with the dangerous task of saving the world. It's a U.S. remake of a British conspiracy thriller series that first aired in 2013. And it is, according to creator Gillian Flynn, a razor blade dipped in chocolate.
Whoa.
Yeah, I liked that.
Okay.
Right. Which the reporter said was a blackly funny and brutally violent show about a looming crisis caused by climate change and overpopulation.
Oh, boy. Where's the chocolate is what I'm wondering, but okay.
That's a good point. Where is the chocolate there?
Maybe it's coming, but I don't know.
So this one has been on my radar for a long time. Obviously, I obsessively stalk Gillian Flynn. Well, not really. I mean, don't be scared of me, Gillian. I'm not really. She also has a very little online presence. So I feel like anything she puts up, I'm like trying to take it in.
Right.
But also I follow Jessica Rhodes, who is an executive producer on Utopia.
Oh.
I found her from The Affair. She was an executive producer there too. She also worked on Sharp Objects, Gillian's last TV project.
Okay.
Yes. So I've been tracking her work mostly. She is a little bit more present on Instagram. And she is also currently working on the TV adaptation of Station 11.
You love that, don't you?
I do love that. Based on the novel by Emily St. John Mandel. Or Mandel, yes.
Oh, my husband loves that book. I think I've talked to you about that. You're both huge fans of that book.
It's a good book and also kind of pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes, related. So Jessica seems to have found her niche here, but
I guess so.
Yeah.
No rom-coms for her?
No. But of course, the real powerhouse behind this one is my favorite, Gillian Flynn. So the press alone for the show is reason enough for me to be just grateful it exists. This is not my general cup of tea, but it's, you know, anything that's coming out that she's behind, there's going to be interviews and I am eating them up. Like I cannot get enough of them. I can't. I sent you something last night that I loved. She talked about that she's been working on Utopia for quite some time. It's been in the works since roughly the time her 6-year-old daughter was conceived. Yeah. The girl, in the article says, the girl is affectionately known as Kick after what she used to do in the womb while the author was working away on the TV series. And Gillian says she could go feral very quickly. And I say that with all affection. There's an instinct to tame children, I think. And I try to resist that. Girls especially need that particular skill set of fierceness, the willingness to push back. And we all know that is something that she gives to her
characters.
Yes, all of her characters. That was something that we thought, well, it's worth checking out this. So we watched the first episode, no spoilers. I guess we'll try to do it with no spoilers. I mean, certainly no season spoilers. We might have episode one spoilers in here. But really just a matter of, what do you think? Like, what's our read on it? From a complicated woman standpoint, I guess, is our thing. So, but she says that she was really drawn to this material as a writer because she says, I liked that it was different enough to give me a challenge. I've never written an ensemble piece. The stuff I usually write is very psychological and focused on one or two people. Mm-hmm. And this is quite an ensemble.
Yeah. It's hard to keep track at first, I think.
Yes.
All the people.
Yes, and especially because when you start, they don't know each other really. They only know each other online. They don't know each other in person. So when they're in the same room together and they don't know they're in the same room together, you're like, wait, is it this person? Is it not this person? Who are we looking for? But I am a big fan of Dan Bird. Did you ever watch Cougar Town? He's the son.
I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Cougar Town, and I really liked him. He was a good character.
So who was Dan Bird?
Ian.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So I am a big fan.
Well, the Sam, the blonde character?
Yes.
So she comes on screen, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh, that's that actress from that movie I love. Oh my God. You're not going to know this.
What?
Nobody would, except for me. Okay.
But which is?
She comes on and I'm like, oh my God. She was in a movie called Forever My Girl. It came out in 2018. It's like my guilty pleasure movie.
Oh.
Which by the way was written and directed by a woman. I just found that out when I looked it up.
All right.
You're not going to want to cover it, but. Okay. It's about a country music star who sets out to win over the girl he left at the altar, who is played by this actress.
Oh,
her name is Josie in it. And I loved her in it. And when she came on, I'm like, it's Josie.
Oh, wow.
I can assure you, very few people watching this are thinking Josie. And by the way, a completely different character than this,
than what
she's playing here. But
I like that premise, though.
Yeah.
And it sounds very much up your alley, too.
Oh, it's so up my alley. I've watched it multiple times. Like, as
country
in
music and the one who got away. Like, could it be
100%?
Yeah. Could it be any more for you?
I can't even. It can't be. It really couldn't be, which is why I own it and play it multiple times. No one else has ever seen it.
I love it.
Remember, Endless Love, the one I told you about too, that I'm embarrassed to admit. Both of them.
Which I'm still on board with that one. Mm-hmm. Wait, what's the name of it? It's a song title.
Forever My Girl.
Oh, I love that song.
Forever
My Girl. Paula Abdul.
Yes.
Yes.
Forever My Girl.
Yes.
Oh, God. The singing today, Kate. I got to stop singing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. That song is not in the movie, just so you know.
Oh.
But.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. But it makes me think of that. So I get nostalgic.
So you thought of Cougar Town and I thought of Forever My Girl.
Both of which are not going to be relevant at all to this show, but still.
No.
Okay, so we have, for the women, we have Becky, Sam, Samantha, and then at the very end, we get a glimpse of the Jessica Hyde, the character who we think is a character in the comic book, although it turns out she's a real person. So we're introduced to Ian and Becky at the bar. They're meeting up for the first time.
Yes.
And how could I not take note that Ian gets the frou-frou Comic-Con drink? Yes. And Becky comes up and orders a beer.
A beer. I mean, I put Corinne is going to love this. I wrote, she orders a beer, ! Now, we've talked about it many times, but people don't know that we just... Covered cocktail, but you've talked about it. We've had the beer versus wine debate and your love of wine. But yeah, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. She orders a beer and he orders the kamikaze.
Yes, that's right. Oh my God, kamikaze though. It's a very cocktail day for us.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And I kind of wish that she had kept her beer and not catered to his fragile ego, but I will say that what we see of this character, Ian, it might have been worth it. He seems genuinely sensitive and kind, someone who isn't going to walk all over her, you know, or think this is like her being submissive. So I'm okay with it for now. But I did love that she, and also Sam, also drinking beer. You know, this is what I said on Cocktail. Some of us like our inner selves to be complicated, and we like to keep our drink orders very simple. No nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yes. And so Sam, we also see that she's close with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And she is also responsible for one of my favorite scenes. The best monologue in this episode, right?
When she dresses down the geeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she comes up to them, by the way, wearing my favorite college outfit of all time, overalls with a cute little shirt underneath it. And she strolls over to this group, and they're wearing fake bunny ears and mad scientist costumes, and yet they're making fun of her.
Yeah. They all look like a bunch of doofuses. They're like ridiculous. They're dressed in these ridiculous costumes and taking themselves super seriously.
Yes. And she's like, you're getting this all wrong. Did you miss this? Here's Uganda. Here's the bats. Here's, you know, she's pointing at everything. Yeah. And they are making fun of her. And they're saying, oh, it all has to mean something. And she's like, it does mean something.
Yeah.
And then she goes into her, Do you want to hear a conspiracy theory? Somehow, a few decades ago, a group of you fucking boy assholes managed to trick the world into believing comic books were serious literature. And now you sit around all day stewing in the violence, masturbating over metaphors, pretending that you're valid. It doesn't make you smart or deep to debate what kind of martial arts Artemis performs. This shit is about life.
It's about life.
Yes. The shit is about doing something, not talking about cartoons doing something.
Oh my God. I wrote that. I was like, love this. Yes.
I loved it too. And it also was very much like in line with this podcast, the way we're talking about these characters as like, what's going on in the real part of this. We're not, you know, talking about every step they take in the movie. We're digging deeper into what this says about them, their psychology, their astrology, but digging deeper into it. And so I liked that.
I love that scene. And
first of all, she was just fantastic.
She was great.
Crushed it. Yes.
And you know, when she walks up, they're like, oh my God, there's like a cute girl willing to talk to us. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she just dresses them down. Like, whatever, nerd boys. Yeah. Or whatever she called them. You said the assholes.
Yeah, yes. Here's your conspiracy theory. You guys over there acting like these are real people. No. Get deeper.
Yes. She's like, this is about like Ebola and infectious diseases, you idiots. And I love that Wilson guy's like creeping in the back like, Uganda. Mm-hmm. Yes. What she said. Like, he gets it.
Yes. Yes. And then at the end, we're introduced to Jessica Hyde, who apparently is a real person. She's clearly in survival mode. She doesn't look fully human. She's kind of, slinking around and doesn't care that this woman is dying and begging her for help.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously, I think she's going to bring some complication to the story and to that role.
Yeah, I guess she is. They've spent, you know, each one of them has sort of mentioned that she is sort of the lead, I guess, in this comic book. And so then for her to appear and say, like, because I'm Jessica Hyde, you're like, right. But you don't know what that means. But I'm like, oh, whoa, this is weird.
Yes. Yeah. But you also know the whole premise and that they're trying to save save her and from the bunny thing or whatever that is.
I know. That's the thing. There's some weird shit. I don't know.
Definitely some weird shit going on.
There's a lot happening. I mean, the shooting. I mean, this is like way more high stakes than I imagined from what the description, I guess, was. I mean.
Yes. Yeah. Well, shooting it could have gone.
Head. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And Gillian kind of talks about this in an interview with Rolling Stone. The interviewer says there's really it's very unclear who is the villain, who thinks they're doing the right, quote unquote, the right thing. And she says, when you hit the final episode, I think the audience is going to go, what? I'm mad at this. No, 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 no. But I think the other half of the audience is going to sort of lean in a little bit and be surprised at who they're aligned with. Ultimately, it's designed specifically for people to argue about who the good guy is and who the bad guy is.
Oh.
And certainly I liked the idea of having villains who believe that they're doing the right thing.
Right thing. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
I know. See, this is why she gets me. This is what I love about Gone Girl. Who is the victim and who is the villain here? It's very unclear. And she likes to play with those things. And that's what I'm really, I'm really drawn to.
As a fan of hers, were you surprised at this genre, I guess, that she's in here with sort of the comic books or graphic novel?
I wasn't surprised because it's a little bit similar. Now, we've only watched the first episode, so mm-hmm. I don't know where it's all going, but it was a little bit reminiscent of Dark Places. And
okay.
There's a convention that she goes to. She's kind of like this out there, very isolated character, so she's not really integrated into society. So some of those things, I guess the Jessica Hyde character obviously then spoke to me, and then in that way, and then also the convention. Like I said, she said she loves a good convention. I don't know why. It's so fun, kind of random, but
yeah,
it isn't what I love the most about her.
Right.
It didn't surprise me, but it isn't what I love the most about her. So we'll see.
Yeah, you know. And I did not, because this just came out and we just decided to watch it. So I haven't done my normal research, but I did read like the New York Times article where she was interviewed about this. And apparently her dad was super into comic books and used to take her as a kid. Mm-hmm. So whereas some people are like, wow, this is a surprising turn for her. She's sort of like, yeah, it's not though.
At
if
all,
you know
yeah.
me. Yeah. Yes, like, yes. Like he used to bring me as a kid and used to tell me about, you know, this comic was based on like Ray Bradbury's story. And this was based, you know, and like would explain it all to her. And she said between that and like her genuine interest / obsession with conspiracy theories, she's like, this is actually right up my alley.
Right.
You know, you guys think of me as sort of the fucked up female protagonist, which is cool too. But she's like, you know, or someone else. I think it was David Fincher who.
Yes. Gone Girl.
Said, you know, people think she's so dark as a person because of her work, but like she's actually like wickedly playful and not her. You know, you guys think she's Amy Dunn or whatever. She said she's got a wicked sense of humor and like this like kind of maybe is, you know, more her than maybe we even can imagine. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I love
that. That was cool.
Yes, I remember reading a long time ago, and I don't know where it is, and I didn't reread it for this, but I remember her telling a story about her dad introducing her to those kind of dark stories, maybe comic book stuff, and that she had gotten like called into the principal's office at a young age because she had written a story and like a wolf was hunting a baby. And then did you hear about this?
No,
and then at the end, the wolf eats the baby. Or the coyote eats the baby. Oh. And they were like, they brought her parents in and her parents were like so proud of her.
Yeah, I love it. Back to the feral point. Jeez.
Yes. By the way, her daughter's name, Veronica. I love that name.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of V names for some reason. My husband vetoed them immediately, but.
So funny, the V names. And you tried to name one of our characters.
Our character is Vanessa. I did.
That's right. You like V names.
Violet, too. Oh, yeah. I love that name.
And when Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck picked Violet, I was like, I'm not a V name person.
I love it. I think you are or you aren't. And I definitely am.
Yeah. Another way you two will bond, you and Gillian, when you meet someday.
I know. And by the way, Pisces.
She's a Pisces?
She is a Pisces.
Oh, they speak to you.
Yes, they do. Well, I have a lot of Pisces in my chart. Right. Not only am I cuspy because I'm born on the edge of the Pisces, but I do actually have a lot of Pisces in my chart too. So it kind of makes sense. But she said something else in that Rolling Stone article that I thought you would love or we would love for this, because we were just talking about this with Allison Wood and how, you know, lady memoirs and their lady stories are treated differently. And also we talked about it with Christina Baker Klein, too, with historical fiction. Well, the interviewer says, as someone who kind of kicked off the next wave of thriller writers, what do you want to see in that realm moving forward? And she says, first of all, I would love for people to stop using the phrase domestic thriller in regard to my work and other women's work. I think it's incredibly sexist and really minimizes what we're doing. I think there's still this idea that if you're writing about relationships and you're a woman, that your story is immediately less important and less interesting than a man writing about, you know, politics or crime, even though the important things in the world that are generally the people that are close to us. And she says she wants to see, I love mysteries and thrillers, and I think we have so many amazing writers in this genre right now. I would love to see it get more respect, because to me, the best ones do tackle really interesting and important topics, and then you attach a mystery to it. It's just interesting to hear her saying that. She hasn't, right. I haven't heard her say anything like that. I didn't think she was, felt like she was treated differently.
Right, exactly. Because, well, you think because of all the success she's had. Yes. That, you know, right?
Exactly. Like,
but yeah, still.
That she would have kind of been above that. But no, she still gets it, apparently.
Yeah. Now, how many episodes are in this? I didn't even check that.
Eight episodes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, 8 episodes. Oh, I think they're each about an hour. I'm definitely going to watch it. It is not my usual thing, as we've discussed. But, you know, I'm just such a huge fan of hers. And the first episode really surprised me. I was more intrigued than I expected. And since I do love dark stuff, it kind of felt a little the OA, which we just talked about with Chloe Benjamin, the OA meets Ozark or something, you know, dark like that, because I do love Ozark as well. But I think I could get into it. I'm definitely going
to. It's very intriguing. It really is. Like, it really surprised me. I will say that. Because, like I said, I wasn't expecting the Ozark part. The sort of the dark.
Yes, the killing.
The killing, you know. Yes. Like, that there was sort of this dark underworld element. Versus, I thought it was, you know, honestly, more just the mystery around this comic.
Yeah.
And the story, but this certainly adds a twist, man.
Yes, and her teasing the ending where people are gonna possibly freak out about it.
No, or that's cool.
Or yes, or be surprised who they're aligned with. And she also talked about that. She said that she has never been the kind of person who wants to write something where you're gonna sit there and go, well, you know, I really got to watch this because I know it's going to be good for me. It's going to expand my mind or you know, offer me something or teach me something. That's not what she does. She says, I'd always much rather write something and have people have a visceral reaction of, I loved it or I hated this.
Oh, and I love that.
Yes. And she says, I was signing books once and I had a woman come up to me and slam Gone Girl down and say, I hated this book. My book club made me read it. I read it with them and I hated it so much. And I was like, great, let's talk about it.
I love it. But this is what my husband says about me. People either love you or hate you. I'm like, great, thank you. Yes. I don't understand. Is that supposed to be an insult to me? Like,
yeah. Most of the time that has more to do with them than it does about you. What does that say about you that you hate me? You don't like a loud, opinionated woman? You don't, I get the same thing. I'm talking about me. I get the same thing.
Who wants a lukewarm reaction to anything? With her.
That's exactly. She finishes saying, I would rather write something that you hate but that you talk about than to have you say, I liked it and never think about it again.
Yeah, she's
right. I think that should be our new tagline. Right? And we say that in our outro. We say, whether you love it or hate it, you know, just tell us. That's what we want to hear about it.
Yes.
I don't.
Exactly.
I don't mind.
I don't want to hear it's fine.
Yes. That's the last thing I want. I either want you on board or shouting at me in disagreement the whole time.
Well, we have a few reviews on Apple Podcasts to that effect.
Yes, we do. And I love it. By the way, Apple algorithm does not take into account whether it's a bad review or a good review, just that someone has taken the time. Apple gets it that someone has taken the time to review. that means more people should be seeing this. And
so they, please feel free to review us.
That's
we're
right.
Here.
Poorly.
I wish you could respond.
I do too. I really do.
Not because I want to argue with people, but you know how like you do like a TripAdvisor review or Yelp and you know, the manager writes back. I'm sorry to hear that, but I'd love to have a dialogue. I invite people to DM us on Insta or tweet to us. I'm happy to discuss it because sometimes some of the things that people say, I just don't get it at all. I'd love to hear more. Or other times I'm just like, I know what you mean, but here's what we were thinking. I would love to have a discussion.
Me too.
You're right.
You're right. Totally. I would. Absolutely.
That one recently though, I was like, were they watching the same show? What did they say? It was I May Destroy You. They thought that we were being negative. We had nothing. I don't recall saying anything negative.
I mean, we just gushed about that show.
That's just weird.
And weeks. I agree. It was weird.
Anyway.
What about you? Will you watch it?
I think I might, actually. I think I might. I mean, it was very, like I said, it was very interesting. Definitely not my normal kind of thing either, but I don't know. I was pretty intrigued.
I'm excited to see how the women hold up so far. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Becky's clearly got hiding something. I don't know what's going on with that. Was she having a seizure?
Yeah, what was that? She's the one that's obsessed with whether there was anything about a virus or whatever. Yes. What was she looking for? Yeah, she's sick in some way and needs to find some sort of cure or the answers to it is what I took from that. But also she's pretty she's nice. They're like, oh, Becky's really as nice as she seems.
Yeah.
But also when he said he liked Risk, she's like, yeah, that sucks.
She's not all just like, I'll have a drink. I'll have this stupid drink because you're drinking it. No, yes.
He said you know almost as much as like Wilson about this. So she's obviously very knowledgeable about Utopia. So, I mean, I don't know.
And Sam, she's a badass.
Yeah.
She is a badass and she's going to speak her mind. And I'm intrigued. And then, of course, the feral Jessica. There's enough for me to hold on to. I'll give it. And then we haven't even seen John Cusack yet.
And I love him.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. So I don't know when he comes in, but
it's got to be soon. I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. It's a good pilot episode, though. We talk about pilot episodes a lot.
And how hard they are.
Yeah.
You're right.
And it is. I do think they do a good job of introducing everyone, sort of setting the scene, leaving you hanging there with a really great ending.
How unexpected is the kid? I love that.
Yeah, what the hell?
I love it.
Just like this little kid and he worms his way into the penthouse. He gets a copy of the thing everybody wants and just takes off with it.
I love it. Even though there's
guys with guns after it.
I love it. I loved, did you watch the movie Cloak and Dagger when you were young? I loved any movie where kids were irrationally and so unrealistically independent. I just had such... I always imagined myself. Yeah, I always imagined myself as one of those kids. I don't know why I wasn't. I mean, this kid travels all the way to somewhere else on a bus and he brings his Cheetos and he gets into the penthouse. I mean,
he just hangs out in the penthouse with his Cheetos.
Filling the bath and dancing. That was great.
That was great.
Okay. All right. Well, so we'll see how this one is received. I hope people love it or hate it and not just feel lukewarm about it.
Because Gillian Flynn would want that.
Exactly.
This has been Pop Fiction Women with Corinne and Kate.
If you enjoyed this show, please tell the complicated women in your life.
And the men who love them.
Yes, tell them to listen. And then to follow on Spotify or review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share on social media.
Tag us with your favorite books, TV shows, and movies starring complicated women on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Fiction Women or on Twitter at Pop_Women.
For more coverage of the women you love or to find out if you qualify as a complicated woman, go to popfictionwomen.com.
And keep it complicated.